You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
In the last 137 days, the Public Investment Corporation has gone through some significant challenges. The chief investment officer of the business parted ways with the PIC by mutual agreement. The chief executive officer has been placed on suspension. The interim chief investment officer has since been replaced, and two non-executive directors have since resigned. To top that all off, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority has announced that they will be launching an investigation into the Public Investment Corporation. We're going to be taking a look at this and trying to make sense of these developments with the founder and director at Kariska Consulting, Kaya Sithole. He joins me on the line now to see if we can understand this. Kaya, lovely having you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. What seems to be happening at the PIC beyond the conversations you and I have had around the institution?
So what seems to be happening is that it's yet another installment of the governance crisis that seems to be a permanent feature of the PIC. Now, a couple of years ago, that is eventually led to an entire commission of inquiry that was really focused on trying to understand exactly what is it that keeps going wrong when it comes to the governance processes of the PIC. That particular commission came up with recommendations, and the PIC went through some sense of stability in that they had a CEO who actually started and completed his term. And we thought that they'd essentially understood what it takes to govern an entity of this nature. Unfortunately, since then, it's all yet again fallen apart. The CEO who replaced Abel Sithole, that is Mr. Dlamini, is now the one who's been suspended on the basis, apparently, of a whistleblower report that says he has done something wrong. But before we got there, there was indeed the dismissal of the chief investment officer, who also hadn't been there for too long. There was then the interim CIO, and that interim CIO has now also been removed. So it sounds like it's just yet another episode of what happens to be a very frequent, far too frequent occurrence at the PIC, where for some reason or the other, those that have the responsibility of managing its affairs simply either do not understand what it takes to do, or they have far too many conflicts and far too many hostile entanglements that make it very difficult for them to really smoothly run this operation.
Speaking of individuals that have to make the relevant decisions related to this, we reached out to National Treasury to get comment on these developments, given that National Treasury is the key stakeholder in this case, and the chairman of the PIC's board would also coincidentally be the Deputy Minister of Finance, Dr. David Masondo. National Treasury has confirmed to us that they're not speaking at this stage. Kaya, I want to get your thoughts on National Treasury's position in this particular context, given that we also seem to be hearing rumours that the Deputy Minister and the Minister himself might be sitting on opposite ends of the table where it relates to this asset manager in particular.
Well, the first part is obviously the issue of what relationship National Treasury has with the PIC. So what the PIC's model says is that obviously it has to have a board of directors, and the ANC government has decided that the chair of the board must be the deputy finance minister of the time, which is really something that a lot of people would express reservations about. The Mbadi Commission particularly expressed reservations about that. But be that as it may, they are the government of the day, and they've decided that the answer is that the chairperson of the board must be the minister of finance. But what also happens is that there is then the question of, well, beyond the board, there is always a shareholder. And in this instance, the shareholder is the National Treasury itself, but it is now represented by the finance minister himself. So the question of whether the two political principles get along is an important one, because if there isn't a meeting of the minds between the minister and the deputy finance minister, it simply means that there isn't a meeting of the minds between the principal shareholder and the chair of the board of directors. And you can imagine what the consequences of that divergence would be for any organization, and in particular for an organization as important as this one. The fact that they're not talking is not helping, because obviously if they are not talking, it means they're either still deliberating on the issue, or they have taken the view that if anyone talks, it will simply alienate or, you know, deepen the divides ideologically or otherwise between the two principles. And it's perhaps in their best interest at this point in time to say as little as possible. But that clearly is not in the best interest of the PIC, which is why even the Financial Sector Conduct Authority has said, well, we actually now want to be able to activate our ability to ask direct questions about what on earth is going on?
Kaya, speaking of things that are in the best interests, I want to look at the best interests of the beneficiaries of the 3.6 trillion rand that the PIC is the custodian of, and that is, of course, the public, mainly the government employees, a pension fund that represents the hardworking civil servants of South Africa. At what point do we start to ask the question of placing the Public Investment Corporation under administration? Would that do anything to solve the problem and the challenges around governance that present the organization?
No, of course not. The thing about administration in relation to governance in South Africa is that at least the politicians' understanding of administration is that rather than have an entire board of overseers, you appoint one person who's got unilateral powers to take all the decisions. You've seen it happening at the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, and you've seen it happening in other government structures. It is clearly a dangerous model, because you can imagine that for any company to have only one person being the rule and the law unto themselves is dangerous. For an entity like the PIC, where 3.6 trillion rand is the number that gets bandied about, because that's just one proxy of how big they are in the terms of the assets that they own, the idea that one person could have unilateral authority to do absolutely everything is quite simply untenable. The PIC's solution is to find a governance model that enables those that have the executive roles to be able to do their jobs, and those that have the governance oversight roles to be able to exercise oversight in a manner that enables the institution to progress. The idea of administration, it sounds, you know, attractive to politicians, but it actually doesn't get us anywhere.
Kaya, what are the risks that confront the Public Investment Corporation at this stage if these ongoing governance challenges continue to persist? 3.6 trillion rand, as we've rightly mentioned, is no small figure, and it means the livelihoods of a lot of South Africans. What are the risks here if these governance challenges are not addressed?
Well, the primary risk is the risk of paralysis, because the way the PIC is that the PIC gets given money by the Government Employees Pension Fund in particular and other smaller funds. And the primary responsibility, and in fact, the exclusive responsibility, is to make sure that those funds grow. Now, the way to grow funds is not to keep them in a bank account, because we now know how low the savings returns are in South Africa if you simply put money to sit idle in a bank account. So the answer is to take that money and invest it into projects, into, you know, ideas that will enable it to grow. So when you have an institution that doesn't have a chief investment officer and a chief executive officer, the type of decisions that are necessary on the deployment of funds, on the question of what to invest in, when to invest and how much to invest, those decisions ultimately get delayed and deferred. So it simply means that the primary reason for the PIC to exist, in other words, to invest money and grow money, that is the thing that then ends up not happening. So that is as paralyzing and as dangerous as it can be.
Certainly a lot of questions are being asked of the Public Investment Corporation, questions we have put forward as well, and we're looking to speak to the Standing Committee on Finance in Parliament on the 4th of August or after then, because that is when they will be summoning the Public Investment Corporation to a committee meeting to ask their own questions. Hopefully some of the questions we've looked at here could be addressed there. We'll see how that conversation unfolds. For now, we'll leave this conversation on that note. Founder and Director at Kariska Consulting, Kaya Sithole, joining us to shed some insights on the governance challenges that plague the Public Investment Corporation.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.